Shaughnessy! Welcome to a very, very special 8-4 Play podcast. And you can tell by the two very specials that I'm trying to compensate for something, which will become evident very clearly. But compensate we will, because this is a podcast where we come to all listen and talk about Japan and games and Japanese games. As always, I am your host, Mark Hughes McDonald. With me, we've cut away the chaff. We've trimmed the fat, so to speak. So we are lean and mean.
Non-essential members are gone.
All killers. All killers, all heavy hitters, all fucking pipe-hitting MFers. beginning with, to my right, stage left, that's our resident hype man, Gabriel 100-1. So you're saying there's a chance, De Leon.
That's right.
Boom.
Right. Get hype. Yo. Wow.
Maybe we'll share your Gabe warmed up the crowd, even though there's only three of us. Maybe we'll share that as our kicker to the podcast.
I don't know if I want me unfiltered like that.
How are you doing, Gabe? Does your mom listen to this podcast, Gabe?
No, she doesn't know this exists.
Okay, all right.
She may even think I'm still in America. It's been over 3 years at this point.
Now we know why you don't have a Twitter account. Because the second you do, someone would inform your mom about all the terrible things that you're saying on this podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a little bummed out, though.
Yeah. Do you want to explain your nickname? Probably. I'm guessing it has something to do with that.
So PlayStation 5 orders here in Japan, they like to do raffles, lotteries.
They did it a little different here. Do you want to talk about that and where you did it and stuff?
So depending where you went, your big cameras, Yodobashi, they had different dates and stuff. So I happen to live right near Tsutaya, and they were having, I think it was about 3 days was how long the sort of come here to take a ticket, enter this lottery. Mm-hmm. And they did that for about 3 days, and then what would happen is if you got picked, they would call you and then they'd say, hey, you won, please come down and spend pre-order. Money.
Yeah,
now you get to actually pre-order.
Right.
I did this with wrestling tickets last year, where I entered the lottery for some fancy seats. Mm-hmm. And got some fancy seats. I got the privilege to pay for the money for fancy seats.
Right. So do we know that the odds were 100-1? Somebody sussed it out, right? Like somehow vaguely. It was based, of course, upon how many people enter the lottery, because there's no limit on that. It was just a time limit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I got that news from my friend who won, by the way.
Hey, not suspicious at all.
Not suspicious at all. He actually went to the same store as I did just a couple hours later.
You should have told him to go to a different one.
I was about to ask this question, because I don't know if anyone actually knows the answer, but is it you're entering a giant pool where like nationwide, so one store might have a bunch of winners, or is it like people in Shibuya immediately have shittier odds than somebody in like the middle of nowhere?
I think it's per store, because they get different allotment. But that Shibuya store is going to get more allotted to it as well.
Oh,
so,
but
you could theoretically find a store in like BFE that's getting like five and have much better odds potentially.
Yeah. So he got it. He was actually saying, "Oh man, it's like 100-1. I don't know if it's going to happen." And I was like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But hey, it was a quick 10 minutes, very orderly, no mobbing or anything like
that. So the 100-1 thing is literally just a thing your friend pulled out of his ass?
You saw it on Twitter.
It's on the internet now.
It's on the Twitters.
Okay, well, it's gospel.
Is what I was told.
That sounds like fact. That's good enough for this podcast, certainly. The way they're doing it here, it's kind of strange that they're so hard to get here, because... And I could very well be wrong when the numbers finally come out. But based on what happened with PS4, PS4 took a long time to get adapted, really, in Japan. Like, just didn't sell in great numbers for a while. And everyone's assuming that's going to happen again with PS5. I mean, relative, it might be more. But that they might be allotting, Sony might be looking at the PS4 sales numbers and just allotting very few
To Japan.
So yeah, it seems like it's as hard, or maybe harder, to get here just anecdotally than it has been in the States. Not as many online. Well, yeah, you had to actually go to physical stores like a goddamn animal in a lot of cases like a piece of shit, worthless sack of. Yeah.
I smelled no foul aromas when I went to grab my raffle ticket. There was definitely a queue.
Yeah. Nobody I know, for what it's worth, I knew maybe five or six people. The people who I know who got ones here in Japan got them through Amazon.
Yeah.
And that's it. But nobody could get... It's funny, among my friend group, at least anyway, a lot of people really want the all-digital one. They were only able to pre-order the disc one, but they actually want the digital one, which is completely foreign concept to me. Yeah. But I guess to each their own. Speaking of which, that is Graham Steve Howard holding that wasn't down, Graham. Holding it down on holding it down in Kyoto.
What's up?
You're Graham. What's up, Graham? You tell us what's up.
Tell us about Steve. Is that where this is going?
I guess so. Yeah. So I mean, you don't have. I don't know. You're not active on Twitter, so it's very difficult with you living in Kyoto.
Yeah, no, Twitter frightens me.
I take
you
little.
Learn to just put out one tweet every 2 weeks, so just like, here is what my nickname is going to be.
So your nickname is going to be based on whatever like minute and a half of conversation we have before the podcast starts, pretty much every time. And you dropped a little tidbit of knowledge. I can't even remember why.
I'm not even sure if this is actual knowledge, but we were talking about, we can, I guess, discuss it later, but they announced that a Smash Brothers character will be coming out right after the podcast is done. So we're not talking about that. But I was theorizing.
This podcast's Nintendo announcement, because it happens literally every time. As we're recording this, it's going to happen, 4 hours, 3.5 hours
or so. From now, yeah.
By the time you hear this podcast, yes, it will have happened, but... anyway, we'll try to have fun with that later.
So I'm not really following the Smash announcement anymore, and I don't really care who they put in because the game already has.
I was so surprised. I thought you'd be all over this. You were like,
goddamn characters. Like, it's, I don't care anymore. There's everybody's in there. Everybody is there. Not fun anymore.
Every Fire Emblem character is in there. I think you mean, which people were joking about when they announced.
We were bullshitting about like what character might be in there. Like, we could take bets on the show, is what Tina suggested.
Yeah,
because I like fun.
I just suggest, you know, because everybody always jokes about Steve from Minecraft. And as far as I'm aware, Steve is the actual name for the mascot, like the blocky dude.
I am shocked.
Minecraft stories and stuff. The avatar, like the mascot, is named Steve, is my understanding.
There is a name for the avatar in Minecraft. And if that's not true, please don't tweet at us, because I don't want to know. I want to live in a world.
You can tweet at me.
Where the Minecraft avatar does have a name. And he is named Steve also, which is just so...
Makes sense they would have had to give him a name, because aren't there like telltale narrative fucking Minecraft stories that need to give these, like, it's got to be named something.
Oh, you can go to Walmart and buy like a fucking like 800 book series, like Harry Potter-esque epic novels, I think, about Minecraft. Like that
Steve
is
and his buddy Jeff. I'm sure he's got a friend named Jeff.
all the great. How are things going over there, Graham? Down there? Down and over there?
You know, I gotta say, life is... better now that it's not so goddamn hot.
Yeah.
It really changes everything when you can just like step outside and not want to die.
So different.
It's crazy. It changes your whole outlook on the world.
It
Being
does.
Able to have your windows open.
Yes, sleeping with the windows open, just feeling the air.
This summer was a reminder of how bad Japanese summers typically are, but haven't been like the last couple years, because exactly what you're saying, every time now when I walk out, like I go to the office and I come back outside and I'm like, oh yeah, wait, I'm not going to like sweat my ass off on my bike ride home. Like, this is so nice. It's so nice outside right now. It makes a huge difference, but it's only going to be this way for like a week and then it will be too cold.
By the time the podcast comes out, it'll be cold.
Japan doesn't get cold by my standards. So I've got a good like half a year of just feeling nice.
You've maintained your cold resistance.
Not quite. Every time I go back to Canada, I wish I was fucking dead.
Okay,
off the plane, it's minus 40. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just shoot me. Get me out of here.
I definitely feel like the longer I'm here, the less cold I am. And I still get told all the time, like, my husband will be like, it's fucking freezing in here. What's wrong with you? I'm like, no, this is perfect. Stop. So there's still a, you know, discrepancy there. But
between 10 and 20 is still perfect for me.
That sounds good.
Take that out of context. So anyway, between all of this, speaking of which, I don't know, insert some segue here, bringing up the anchor, that's Tina Milk the Pigeon Carter.
Hey, that's nasty.
So I actually did not know that there was actually an expression called Milk the Pigeon.
I don't know that expression either.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just me. I was like, oh, I searched.
Did you pull that out of the Urban Dictionary?
I searched for idioms on our friends over at thesaurus.com. They have a helpful idiom finder. And let's see. Oh, it says it does mention that it's an obsolete expression.
Okay.
To try to do or facilitate something that is unlikely to happen or be successful.
So it's like squeezing blood from a stone.
Yeah. So Albert appears to be milking the pigeon right now in the stables. Mm. There's no way he'll convince Catherine to get back on that horse. Okay. But Tina, you played a game that I've long been curious about and kind of checked in on like here and there, but never like seriously pursued. Hatfo boyfriend.
I did.
Ooh. On a lark, right? Just totally randomly? What brought this on?
It was Friday night. I was just drunk enough that I didn't want to go to bed, but didn't want to like do anything difficult. And I was like, fuck it. Let's just buy something on Steam. I was like, hey, Hatfo's boyfriend, that's something I've heard. Yeah, fuck it. Let's do that. Because I had tried watching Let's Plays of it, because I heard enough about it that I knew it was of some import, but I didn't know why.
You knew it was a pigeon dating thing, though, right? Like,
all I knew about it.
Okay, yeah.
And just, like, the name is a pun, so I'm already on board.
Right.
But then a Let's Play is not the way to go with this, just in case anybody wanted to know. Because there's a million dialogue options and you have to exhaust them all in very particular ways to get different things to happen. Mm. Thank God there's a fast forward button, but worth every second I spent on it.
Oh, yeah.
It will take much longer than you think it will. And it will fuck you up.
Really?
Definitely.
It was great. I had a great time. But know as little about it as possible going in as you can. So, like, I don't even want to say anything about it.
Wow. Okay. How much did you play it? Like, how long did you play it until you were, quote-unquote, like, finished with it?
I got all the possible endings. So, like, I 100%ed everything that you can do, which is crucial for appreciating the whole thing. It's not a case of, like, oh, well, you can do the 6 normal endings, and then the rest is kind of for the hardcore. There's no reason to play this if you're not going to do all of them.
Okay.
And that took me about 10 hours.
Okay.
And that was like risk. Really like fucking around, trying out all the options. Like, what if I say this instead? You know, making a bunch of save points to then reload and answer a question differently and stuff. So if you used a guide, it wouldn't take you that long.
So was there, besides that stuff that you just mentioned about finishing all the endings and stuff, is there anything else you wish you would have known about going in for anybody who decides to?
Don't think that you can be like, I'll just, you know, I'll do one more ending. It'll be, what, like 30 minutes? Don't ever think that.
You get hooked.
It will take much longer than you're expecting. Never play this game when you've got somewhere to be.
What about we promised we would check in on Moon with you?
Yeah, talk about Moon.
Ooh, Moon. Moon was a whole bunch of fun, to put it really, really succinctly, but I have in true me form a whole bunch of notes.
Notes. She's got notes.
Oh, God. I got notes.
Wow.
Here we go. Buckle the fuck up.
Well, the notes were crucial because I had prepared in case we talked about it last time. Mm. And last time was like first impressions because I'd only spent a couple hours with it.
Right.
Now I've finished the game. I haven't 100%ed it because I realized that that's something I'm never going to achieve because I don't have the mental fortitude to do that much fishing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. You made your peace with it.
Yeah. Overall, I had a really great time with it. It was the perfect kind of like self-contained fairy tale world with its own consistencies that flow through the world. You know, someone will talk about something here and then you go into a different area and someone mentions something similar and you're like, ooh, connections, which I love. But I would not advise anyone to go into this thinking they're playing a relatively new indie game. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen people saying, oh, this could come out now and, you know, they could put it out as an indie game and it would be fine. It would not.
It's got some of the 20-year-oldness
yeah.
of it still shines through. Like,
it's of its time in some mm-hmm. like really charming ways and some kind of shitty ways.
Mm-hmm.
So like the visual style of it, I don't yeah. like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the character design is great. It's beautiful. Like all of the
yeah, the main fella is really cute. The main fella with his just the no body, the just the hat and the clothes
boy,
and the gloves
he's
and stuff.
So cute. Like all the NPCs are super cute. The characters are animated really nicely. They look great.
So why is it terrible?
This is a 3-part series.
Oh god, okay.
The characters are cute. The backgrounds are that like super 3D made 2D, so it looks too nice and it's kind of confusing.
Oh, the pre-rendered backgrounds. Yeah.
That like Donkey Kong Country had.
Sounds like PS1, yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it was 97, whatever. But all the monsters that you rescue in this game are like claymation that they took video of and then made it into a GIF and then stuck it in the game.
Right.
And it looks bad.
Not into it, right.
No, and I'm sure there are people who love it, and like the monster designs themselves are really disturbing in some, like they're creepy and weird looking,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like it. That doesn't mean other people won't.
Sure. So what kept you playing?
Well, it had the legacy that I just like, I knew that this was a game. It was like required reading or something. It's just like, I know this is going to be a couple of hours that I should really do because it's informed things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like such a legendary thing at this point. I needed to know what it was all about. I'm not a user manual reading type of person. So mm-hmm. like, I like to look at the manuals for the art and stuff, but I won't read the manual before playing the game.
Right.
That is not advisable with this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the game doesn't have, it does a little bit of explaining, but it really doesn't explain to you the technical aspects of how the game works.
Right.
So there's a clock mechanic, but it never teaches you how to read the clock. So I got like 5 or 6 game overs in a row, getting real pissed off, not understanding why I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like an activity meter that displays in hearts that's buried into sub menus that if that runs out, you die.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it never tells you that meter is directly related to real time.
Right.
I thought maybe because it's an activity meter, if I read a sign, then it goes down a bit. And if I talk to a person, then it goes down a bit. So I thought if I don't do stuff,
right.
I can walk farther. And that is definitely not the case.
I see. I had heard it was pretty unforgiving and that there were a lot of just like boom game overs like to that game.
At the start, yes. Like mm-hmm. at the start, you really have to be careful. You're going to run out. You want to explore. You want to explore the whole castle. You want to look around town. You don't have time. You have to go out, do a single task, go home and go to bed. Go out, do a tiny task, go home and go to bed. And that's the gameplay for the first little bit.
Okay.
And so every time you level up, the amount of time you can spend walking around doing stuff increases until like halfway through the game, you've got multiple in-game days worth of stamina to go through. And then it's a lot different.
Yeah, that does seem a little tricky because like the dialogue and that is like one of the like, one of the big calling cards of the game, right? It's like one of the supposed to be one of the strong points of the game. So you'd think from the start that you want to be running around and finding all that stuff out. But
it's super tempting to go and talk to everybody and see everything. And there's this little bird character called Yoshida, who's my favorite. And you show him any item and he'll give you information about it. So basically, if you get a puzzle piece and you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do with this. You go and take it to Yoshida, the bird with stick arms.
Okay.
And he'll tell you what's up. But you don't have time to check in with him as much as you want to initially.
Right, right.
The clock does stop like when you're in dialogue, which is good. So like if you're talking to someone, you can take your time to read. But as soon as that conversation ends, the clock keeps running.
Mm. So you played through it, though. You finished it, right?
I did.
How long, just out of curiosity, how long did it take you?
I
roughly.
I think about 20 hours.
Mm, okay.
But I did use guides for some of it.
Okay.
And I want to put that in big capital letters because some of these puzzles are like, in hindsight, they kind of make sense.
Right.
But when you first read what you're supposed to do, you're like, who the fuck would think of that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
That sounds like another like very PlayStation 1 era thing that the puzzle design was.
It's also kind of how this guy makes games. I've never played Moon and I'm waiting for it to come to Steam before I do anything with it. But like, for example, I think what most people in the West might know him for first was a game called Tulip on the PS2.
Right.
And Tulip was hella weird. And you had no idea what you were doing in that. And that's, it's kind of like PS1-esque, but it's also just this dude and how he makes games.
Right.
So
right.
I can respect the hell out of that.
They leave little nuggets of clues for you to find. And it's not that the things that you have to do are especially difficult a lot of the time. It's just you really have to invest the time into it before it will give you something back.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one area that's crucial to being able to complete the game. You can enter it only by participating in an event that takes place over literally about 3 seconds in real time. And it happens only once per in-game day.
Hell yeah.
Graham is into it.
And unless you just
you sold
happen,
me, I'm in there.
And it's on a single screen. Unless you just happen to be on that screen at that specific time of day to see that thing happen and know how to interact with it just right, you will never enter that area. You will never meet a character who gives you crucial shit. And the game's just like, if you don't ever find that, fuck you. Spend enough time in the world. You'll eventually figure it out.
All right.
That's good fun, yeah.
Where did you go for help, out of curiosity? Did you find like a YouTuber or like a certain video?
Oh, I should have written it. Oh, crap. It's like the first thing that comes up when you Google the game and then like walkthrough. It's an old walkthrough from before the game was ever localized. So half the walkthrough is like this person writing out all of the dialogue for you. And then
a lot of the
puzzle explanations. The author is like, I don't understand what they're telling you, but the correct answer is the second option.
Right.
Like, it's so awesome to read through it and then be doing it and be like, oh yeah, that totally wouldn't make sense if you didn't know this. Like,
that's funny.
It's really fun.
Didn't you like finish it? And I thought you were like super into it. Didn't you like buy like a figurine or something?
Oh,
like...
I absolutely did. I dropped $100 on a pre-order of a little figurine of the invisible
for
boy.
For this shit that you hate. You're all over the place, Tina.
I don't hate it. I never said I hated it. At what point did I ever say I hated it?
You said it was ugly. Poor game that you don't understand. It's impossible to understand. I'm getting mixed messages, but okay. Yeah, sure.
No, I had a great fucking time. As soon as I finished it, I turned it off, and then I was like, I miss Moon. And then I turned it back on.
Nice. Okay, so yeah, so overall, like, what was the part that really grabbed you? Like, the characters, the story, or, like, that kind of stuff, or what?
It was all the little interactions really, I'm making hand gestures for a word that I don't know what to say.
Like, I don't even know what your hand, I can't interpret your hand gestures either.
No, just the environment was really alive.
Yeah.
It was really alive and it was really charming. I wanted to talk to everybody. I wanted to know what every little puzzle solution was. There's a guy who just can't sleep and he's just bouncing up and down. He's like, I can't sleep. I'm going insane. And the literal puzzle solution, spoil alert, is you give the man a bottle of chloroform.
Nice.
And then you come back and he's like, I feel better. Would you like this item that will make your gameplay experience extremely streamlined and easy? And you're like, yes, I would. Thank you very much, sir.
Just like what you
enable.
Chloroform.
Always enable.
but.
Yes.
And it's a big but.
Yes.
There are some things about it that do make it like scream. This is from like the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no accessibility friendliness. Mm-hmm. So like there are puzzles where sound is crucial or there are puzzles where color is crucial.
Right. And, right.
Like because the game is just a straight port, like none of that has been changed at all.
Right.
There are NPCs who are very visibly like racial stereotypes.
There's
a whole little side part. The whole concept of the game is you're supposed to be collecting love from various sources.
Right.
So, you know, there's all different kinds of love. And that's like the theme of the game. It's like, this is love and that is love. But one of the examples of love is like, you see domestic violence and they stay together and that is love.
Okay.
So, okay. You know,
yeah.
And I don't want to say like, oh, this is terrible because it's insensitive. It's just, you know, it looks like it's a game for children, and in many ways it is, but there are some questionable things in there too. That if there are people listening who are like, I'm going to play this, that might be things that they want to know.
Sure, sure. Right.
I just think it's really cool that it exists now. Like, the reason I haven't played it is because it didn't exist outside of being a PS1 disc until now.
Right.
So, like, anytime I had been interested in playing it a few times, and every time I looked on Amazon, it was like, I just checked Amazon now.
Mm.
The best re-release version of it is like $400.
Wow.
And the best version, which is
the
like
the best version is right now. The only there's one listing is 3.6 mon.
Wow.
And the only listing of the original release, non the best, which is like Player's Choice or Greatest Hits or whatever it was in this thing, is 6.9 mon.
Wow. So
even with this re-release now being available, you can download for like, what, $20?
Yeah.
I'm still paying $700 for this disc, and that's why I haven't played it. So I'm still definitely going to jump in whenever they put it on Steam.
Have they said they're putting it on Steam, or are you just...
No, but all of his other games, like Blackbird is on Steam, I don't know, and Little King Story is on Steam, all this dude's stuff is on Steam. I don't know why this wouldn't be on Steam. I'm waiting for it.
Gabe, you surprised me by putting Phantasy Star Online your games that you're currently playing. Do you dabble? Are you a dabbler?
So I'm a little after the Genesis RPGs. So my first exposure to the Phantasy Star universe was PSO on the Dreamcast.
Sure.
I got the bug recently. I just started Googling random, like, Humar. I remember that.
Right.
And that one thing led to another. So then I started looking into, okay, like, I used to play on private servers and stuff, and then did a little reading, did a little finagling with some virtual machines, and I built my own private server on my home
Look
network.
Look at you!
Nerd!
Yep. I had that day off. That was my project for the day, spin up a PSO server.
So what, do you go on like a Discord and post it and then get people to play on it, or how does it work?
So long-term plan is to, I don't want to get too technical, but I do want to move
bots.
It. Huh?
Program your own bots, have the AIs all act and talk like all your friends from high school. It'll be like Jerry's there with you.
High school was all Star Wars Galaxies. Those weren't bots. I'll probably put it on Amazon, like AWS or Google Cloud or something in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to, for those of you out there that know, I'm trying to put it in a Docker container. So that way I can just drop it wherever I want.
Sure, of course. Classic Docker.
Classic Docker.
So what else would you do with a Docker?
We should post it on how difficult... Is it for a layperson not to set up their own server, but just to get the shit up and running to play on a private server?
So I would actually say there are a couple of really well-run community private servers out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to tinker and futz around on Linux and stuff to build it myself.
Right.
But if you just want to play PSO... It's out there. There's really good stuff.
No.
You're not doing a great PR job here, Gabe. It's like, I've got this pet project going, but mine's bullshit. Just play this other one. Like,
it's already a foregone conclusion that anyone listening to this is going to play on your server. What I'm asking. I'm asking...
They don't want to play on Ninja's server. They want Gabe's server.
Yes, they're playing on the Gaben server. But how hard is it for them to set up the client, like on their side, the client side? Like, how hard is it for just average PC gamer...
Average PC gamer, the only hard part will be me figuring out how to provision accounts. Otherwise, you just download this exe and then you just go.
Problem solved. We're raffling them off. Everybody follow
there
me.
There you go. It's a solved problem.
It's a 100% chance, though. So
exactly.
Gotta give me an email, give me a username. I'll manually create your accounts.
How many parameters can you fuck with? Are you in control of everything in terms of...
Pretty much. So, like, the rare monster rates you can control, the drop rates on mags you can control, you can make it so every item's a rare item, you can manually generate manually generate custom stat weapons, so stuff that technically can't even exist.
Yeah,
you can generate as a admin on the server.
What about monster like stats, like speed and attacks and bosses and things like that? Like, is that not
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I was too enthralled with the like, yes, I'm back, I'm home again.
Right.
To go too deep into and turning.
I am God here.
Bond. Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
I am a golden god.
My character's name.
Before me.
Character's name was G. Just because. Keep it short.
Wait, your character playing on your own server?
I just named her.
Oh my god! Yep. You're like that kid who has no friends who's playing like who's the dungeon master and like makes characters to go through. Well, Gabe, if you had a fucking Twitter account, we could put that. We'll put it out on the 8-4 Twitter. Okay, we'll put your.
We don't have to do that. I know.
It's
not up yet.
We're going to. Unfortunately. Gabe,
what's the sound?
Going to? Okay.
The listeners are already excited, dude. There's people who are just like poised. They are ready to strike. Their fingers hovering over.
They are ready to
right
download
now
an exe that Windows will say is a virus. And
are we talking about version 1 or 2?
Okay.
By the way.
Yeah, Blueburst.
Question.
Blueburst.
What the fuck?
Blueburst was the PC only version that skipped episode 3.
No, I know
3.
What it is, but still.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay.
Yeah.
You've just lost all your interest there, but all right.
No, I mean, episode 1 and 2 are still there, and they're mostly preserved. So I even know there are servers out there that actually do version 1, version 2 of like the Dreamcast versions too. Mm. That was a little too, like, I don't have a Dreamcast on hand to play with some connection stuff, but I did have all the Windows stuff and Linux stuff to spin it up on at home here.
You're not quite ready to start like soldering shit and going like that far.
But I mean, I've soldered before, but not anything
okay,
crazy.
Not
I
haven't yet. Yes,
I haven't soldered.
You'll get there. I believe in you. All right, Graham, you're playing the probably the most recently relevant game that just launched, Spelunky 2. Were you a Spelunky guy?
Yeah, I like Spelunky.
But it's rare to meet somebody that's like, yeah, I like Spelunky. It's either like, oh my god, Spelunky is the perfect game, and they finally made it. You cannot say either that, or it's like, I tried it, I totally didn't like it. I don't see what everybody sees about Spelunky. Are you actually kind of in the middle?
Yeah, no, I think the game is pretty good. I don't know what kind of like fanatical person you were running into, but also like it came
everybody
out. Spelunky 1 was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
And so, I mean, maybe my feelings have cooled on it a bit, but I remember like I played it and I beat it and I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of
you
I
did
just moved
beat
on.
It. You played it enough to
yeah,
Spelunky, that's
yeah,
kind
yeah
of an accomplishment. Yeah.
I did a run where I didn't have to use any shortcuts or anything. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. And then
right
I moved on with my life, which is, I guess, different from the people that you've met. But yeah, Spelunky 2 is out now. And oh my god, is it ever a sequel to Spelunky? It is the exact same game. I mean that in the best way. Like you
they didn't
it up
fuck with anything.
It. They didn't fuck with anything at all. Like the first biome, I don't know, like the area that you're in, it also just feels exactly the same as the very first Spelunky biome.
Right.
With like a lot of the same traps as well, with like the arrow traps and the spike traps and shit. And it's amazing how you just jump right in. After so many years, it feels the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not used to games like, I don't know if I want to call it tight or slippery. Like, the controls in Spelunky games walk a really strange line.
Right.
Where, like, yeah, they react so immediately that, like, actually, on the contrary, it feels like they're kind of, like, sliding around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Very bizarre. But, no, after, like, you play a bit, you get back into it, a lot of the same, like, things are there. Shopkeepers are still dickheads. If you do anything, like, kind of bad in their vicinity, they all come after you.
I think they made it harder to, because that was one of the big strats in the first game, right? Was killing the shopkeeper.
Yeah, the shopkeepers, I have not managed to kill one. I've pissed off a lot, but oh my god, they get me every time. They get me every time.
Yeah.
That's so mean. Wait,
yeah.
You just
them killing
them
me? Yeah, for sure.
Shit?
Well, usually, I mean, the fun thing about Spelunky is that it always sort of like, I think one reason that the people that like it really like it is that you need to be paying attention at every single moment. And so if you slip for like even the slightest second and you fuck something up, you're like, ah, I fucked that up.
Yeah.
Because the visual information is always on screen at all times. So if you do something that pisses off a shopkeeper, it's like, like they were right to get mad. They were right to get mad.
So
like, well, I think, yeah, go for it.
Oh, so I've never played this game, obviously. Can I start with 2 or should I start with 1?
Oh, you can start with 2. It's totally fine. They're basically the exact same game, except Spelunky 2, you play as Spelunky 1 man's daughter, and that's it.
Okay.
She's the main character. It's like, it's basically the same game in every way, but they've expanded on it here and there. There's no reason to go back and play Spelunky 1 now that this exists, I wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun to just go through all those same motions again, because it's been so long since I played Spelunky 1 that I forgot all of the original, like, gotchas.
Mm.
Where it's like, the spike traps that can come from, like, or not spike traps, the arrow traps that can come from super far away, and, like, the second you're on their axis at all, like, you're just immediately dead. Those arrows are so fast. Mm. Or that the arrows, their hitbox doesn't actually disappear until they hit the ground, so they can bounce off the wall and still come and get you. Like, you will die to everything once. And one thing, like, I guess, a game design thing about this is that it never tells you what anything does until it does the thing to you once.
Right.
So you need to, like, actually kill an enemy before it tells you what the enemy is. You need to pick up an item. You need to buy an item before it tells you what the item does.
Right.
You need to get killed by a certain type of environmental hazard before you know what that environmental hazard is. So everything always gets you once, and that's actually, like, part of the fun for people that enjoy it, I think.
Well, it's learning, I mean, overall, right? Like, not only what everything does, but then how to deal with it. Like, that's how I've heard it.
And also just how to control, like, the really overly responsive character that you're put in charge of.
Right.
Like, there is the general learning curve. It goes in a really natural way that once you start being able to get through the first biome, because basically, like, it's, they have a whole bunch of levels, and after you clear a set of levels, you go to a next, like, totally different themed volcano set of levels or whatever, or a city set of levels or whatever.
Mm.
And as you sort of, like, manage to progress further and further, you also just learn the general skills that you need to be better at the game. So the further that you get, the better you get at getting further is the kind of thing that you feel a sense of progress when you play it.
Right on. Yeah, like the graphics, everything, like, just remind you of
the exact same as the Spelunky one, the 360 release, obviously, not the original one.
Right. Spelunky HD, or I guess technically is what it was called.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the one that you played back in the day.
Yeah, I never played the original freeware one. Or was it freeware?
I don't remember. I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, no, I never played the original version. I only played it on after it came to 360.
So do you think you'll finish this one? Like, how far have you gotten?
Yeah, I think so. I've already made it to the third biome.
Okay.
I don't know how many there are in this one. I feel like there was 5 or 6 in the original.
Right.
But, if it's about the same, yeah, no, I'm having fun. I usually do like a run or two just every night before I go to bed. So I figure eventually I'll probably get through it.
Are you, I guess it's only on, or no, it's out on PC now too. Where you
playing? I'm playing it on Steam, yeah.
Okay.
And just a disclaimer, I got the code for free because they are our friends.
Nice.
Friends of the show. I got one. John got one. He's gone. Rest in peace, John. But, yeah. I played enough for him, too.
Wait, what?
Right on. Anything else? You're playing... what else were you playing?
Mario 35.
Oh.
I just completely interrupted.
That's cool. Now, Mario, it came out like a couple hours ago, didn't it?
Yeah, I played it at lunch.
You did?
Am I the only one who played it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it came out today.
The rest of us had work days, Tina.
Some of us have a work to do.
Gotta make that work-life balance. And you know, life is Mario. Mario is life.
I saw John playing it. He was talking about it on Twitter. Yeah, so does it just play like what it looks like, basically? Tetris 99 Mario style?
It did all kinds of things I wasn't expecting it to. And as soon as it did it, I was like, ah, I see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Like, the idea that when you kill an enemy, it drops it in someone else's screen.
Right.
Totally makes sense in theory, right? Like, you're all on level 1-1, someone has extra Goombas, whatever.
Mm.
But what that meant in practice was that I get through 1-1, I get through 1-2, I go to the warp, because obviously, who doesn't? And I get the option to warp back to 1-1, which I do, because that means I can play through another easy level while a bunch of suckas are dying in 1-3. Mm-hmm. However... that means halfway through 1-1, I'm suddenly got Bowser spawning all over the place because some speedy motherfucker is already at 1-4.
It's
much more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, having a great That's time. Cool. I have not yet become number one. My highest score was 9th. I saw that John and Dermot have both already gotten 1, so I'm pissed.
You're playing against... You 35, are you playing full games every time, pretty much, I'm assuming, right now?
Well, it's you play until you die.
But I mean, like, does the game only start if it gets 35 people in it, or will it start?
Oh, yeah. But it's immediately full right now.
Right, I got it, yeah.
I have a couple questions about how this works, because I didn't pay attention to the present, like, I guess it was in the direct or whatever, I didn't pay attention to that at all. So is it just World 1? Does it go beyond that?
So
it goes the entire game, basically?
Presumably. I mean, so you start in 1-1, and when you finish it, instead of going like to the castle and fireworks and shit, it just immediately loads you up at the start of 1-2, and you go through 1-3, etc.
So, but like, is there a World 2?
I didn't get that far yet.
But I mean, but like, if Durbin and John have gotten first place at something, did they finish the entire game? They finished every world.
No, everybody else died.
So four people died before them.
Oh, yeah. I see. That's all it takes.
Soul survivor.
Yeah.
But
so it could theoretically go all the way up until the final level.
Yeah. But to make sure that people don't just stand around out of danger waiting until everyone else dies, there's a very cruel timer where it's only 30 seconds. And the only way to get more time is to kill enemies. So every Goomba you stomp is another cool second. Mm, so they force you to
make sense.
Do some action. Otherwise, as soon as you get time up, you die.
And so for like with Tetris 99, like you could sort of target other players that you knew were doing well. Is that element in here at all where you can see like that person's playing really well and want to kind of fuck them over?
If it exists, I'm not clever enough to have figured it out yet.
I think it is in there, but I think like Tetris 99, it's not, they might not even explain it, but I thought I saw in the direct, a similar thing set up where like the D-pad you could use to
target somebody somehow,
to change somehow what
the D-pad. They're making you control Mario with the analog stick.
I was playing with my classic NES controller because it felt good.
You're right. That wouldn't make sense. That would
I don't advise it because it doesn't have the X or Y buttons, which are crucial for some menu functions.
Mm.
It shouldn't be a menu. It should just be A and B. This is an A and B game. Yeah, two buttons.
In game, it's A and B. In the menu, if you want to like use power ups or whatever, that I haven't even touched any of that yet. But that required an X button.
You don't need them. They're just a crutch. But no, I kind of like to know if you can target other players, because in Tetris 99, at least, there's a way that they can visually set up that information on the screen where you know how everybody else is doing at a glance. With 35 people playing Mario, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, so. you've got...
But you would definitely want to fuck over Dermot. Like, just find Dermot. Throw enemies at Dermot.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
Now, you've got 35 tiny little screens all playing. So you can kind of see, like, oh, someone else is underground already. That's funny, haha. But, like, you're paying attention to your own shit. There's too much going on to be looking at that.
That's cool. That's cool that you managed to play that already. A lot of people are going to be just waking up to that, I think, on Thursday.
I see myself playing an unhealthy amount of it and getting too invested and too angry. So controls everything.
Felt just perfect, fine, responsive. It felt like Mario.
I wouldn't say perfect. It doesn't feel like Mario 1.
Oh, really?
The muscle memory didn't work. My first jump, I fell and I died. And that just doesn't happen on one.
It must be the game, man. It must be
the game. Nah, the
games, it's TVs, about, like, it's, everything is different. It's not the same setup at all.
It doesn't feel like when he runs, it doesn't feel quite as fast. The velocity on the jump feels weird. Like I'm sure as soon as I play it for like a significant amount of time, I'll get used
to it.
You'll
get used to it, yeah.
It just doesn't feel like what I am used to.
What you expected going
on. I'm curious to get John's take on that. He'll be very, very strict about that kind of shit. So maybe we'll check in with him on it next time too. I'm sure we'll all be playing it by then.
But definitely fun. Download it. Cool. Play it. It's a good time. It's only until March 31st.
I think that's about it for what people have been playing. I've been playing Humanity, our upcoming
game. Playing something? Oh, you're
And Tetris
Effect Connected,
which actually, Graham, I really want to play Tetris Effect Connected with you. I'll talk to you maybe.
I played Tetris Effect, the regular one, a couple weeks ago, actually. They were doing some kind of, it was the weekend. I was having to boot up on the weekend. I think the theme was, I don't know, relaxed or some shit.
Yeah.
It was already done, as it always is, because I guess
that is not true.
No, it was. Like, I think I logged on like Saturday night.
Done. Come on.
And the event was already done. I was like,
Sometimes it happens. Still a very popular game.
Seems like everybody's ravenously playing it still. So,
No, I really want you to play some of those modes. That's coming together. It's like one month or so until.
Oh, right. It's also coming to PlayStation eventually, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's coming to all that stuff. But anyway, let's segue right into the news. No break. How about that? I like them apples.
I'm down for that.
So lots of shit has happened. We're going to take in a very random order. Not because we didn't have this all organized ahead of time, but just because it's more fun that way.
More dynamic listening experience.
I mean, why do stuff in order of importance? Let's just do stuff like, who knows what's coming next, Gabe? It's exciting.
That also hurts feelings.
What?
It hurts feelings if you prioritize.
That's true, too. That's true. Yeah, we don't play favorites here. Except we do try to cover the Nintendo announcement that they did immediately before our show goes out last time, every time. This time it was their Nintendo Direct. Was it a mini? I don't even know. It was like third party stuff.
It was the partner direct, yeah.
It was the partner direct, yeah. And as we kind of pontificated or hoped it would be, there was a Monster Hunter game there. Monster Hunter Rise announced for Switch coming the end of March, March 26, 2021. Pre-orders are open now. Highlights, there's a dog. You can ride on the dog.
You can pet it.
There's a grappling hook. You can pet it. There's a grappling hook like thing called a wire bug that lets you zip around. Mostly, it seemed to me like a way of saying all of the, you know, very tedious running around between zones and all of that. Like, we're in various ways trying things to kind of alleviate some of that, like, traversal, which has always been such a huge part of the Monster Hunter games, like literally just running from point A to point B. Like, let's try some different ways to like minimize that. So you have this this dog pet that you can jump on that does not have a stamina meter, so you can just get around really quick. Apparently, loading between zones, there's not any loading between zones in this one, but it is much more firmly like in the old Monster Hunter camp. It hasn't gone like,
it's not full world,
open world. Yeah, it hasn't gone full world, but there are aspects of it that are like leaning more in that direction. Aesthetically, looks very like what would you say, 4? I guess like kind of a. It seems to be like centered around mostly like with one big village. Well, I mean, I guess most of them have been that way in that series.
The Japanese aesthetic was cool.
It seemed Japanese to be aesthetic
leaning more heavily than usual into the whole the wah. I appreciated the wah.
Gotta have that wah.
Yeah.
Let's see, the dog called a Palamute.
Yep.
Palamute. That's so cute.
Pretty good.
Well, I don't. Do I? Not, am I just missing the name?
It's a Malamute. That's your pal.
Okay, got it.
Bro,
got it now. And Palico. Okay, so now it goes with Palamute and Palico. Not bad.
Is Palico not the bad cat?
Palico. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, yep, that's yeah cute.
Which is ours. So I see that they, right, they took it for Palamute.
That's right.
You're welcome.
It is.
That's fucking
you're
cute.
Welcome.
You're welcome, Capcom.
Another Monster Hunter announcement, Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin.
Yeah, they made also another one of those.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch. I watched that trailer and I thought, holy shit, yeah, I forgot they made the first one of this.
Yeah, I didn't think it did that well.
Yeah. Maybe well enough for a sequel, well, I guess.
Yeah, not well for a Monster Hunter game. Might have still done pretty damn well. Coming next summer, looks in line with the first game, which I gather was a kind of monster, a Pokemon-y, more little leaning more into the Pokemon side of things. But don't know too whole a hell of a lot about, to be honest. Speaking of Monster Hunter, the 3DS not making it anymore officially. Finally stopped manufacturing 3DS family. The tally, for people interested in, about 75 million units lifetime hardware sales.
Yikes. Okay.
Closer to 400 million games. Not bad. Not bad at all.
I hope mine doesn't crap out.
Debuted 10 years ago. Yeah, those systems have Nintendo systems have a pretty amazing track record, not only of surviving, but actually keeping their battery charge too. Like, you start up the Game Boy Color, which you haven't touched in 10 years, half the time it'll still have like half its battery charge. Yep. So, that was all confirmed by Nintendo. It's totally official. Let's see. Jet, The Far Shore, delayed to 2021. Friends of the show there, Super Brothers. That's coming to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, PC via the Epic Game Store. They just said like they need more time. That's cool. Wish them the best. Michel Ancel, pour one out. Rayman creator. Don't worry, he's still alive. But he's Jesus dead to us because he's not making video games anymore. Not making games anymore. Dead to this podcast. But maybe he will be on our new podcast where we focus on wildlife sanctuaries, because that's what he's going to go do.
Oh, good for him. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. Yep. So Beyond Good and Evil 2, and what was the name of that other project that they, Wild. He's, you know, promises they're in good hands and blah, 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 so and so.
They're still pretending Beyond Good and Evil 2 exists?
Apparently.
Okay.
Apparently so.
I appreciate the gumption. I can respect that, yeah.
So a little bit of a fluffle from this next story. Microsoft bought Bethesda for $7.5 billion.
What a number.
Yeah.
That's a beast.
Big old cart of bones there.
That's two Star Wars.
Crazy. They basically, yeah, that's right. Twice the Star Wars franchise. But I mean, this is Doom. This is Elder Scrolls. This is...
The Evil Within.
Evil Within.
I mean, Elder Scrolls alone is insane. Like,
yeah,
it's the
Fallout,
game that will not die.
They basically bought themselves, like, into the first party game. Like, they can now stand shoulder to shoulder with Sony and Nintendo, pretty much.
Yeah.
Inarguably, by franchises, by fan favorites.
I wonder how much they would try to leverage that in a way that actually pulls people towards Xbox, though. Because, I don't know, yeah, with their whole recent strategy, where basically everything that is on Xbox is also on PC. Would
right.
Now that they've, gathered up ZeniMax, would they still do that? Or would they now be like, hey, if you want to play these very popular games, you have to get an Xbox?
Well, so they've already said a couple things. One, Bethesda actually has a couple games that are PlayStation 5 exclusives that were announced.
Okay, all right.
Those they're going to honor.
It's really complicated. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and then like games that are already in the pipeline, I'm guessing will still come out on Switch. I don't know if Doom Eternal, did that already come out on Switch? Anyway, they've been pretty good about actually putting stuff out on Switch, and yeah, Microsoft has allowed some of their games like Ori and stuff to come out on Switch, but they haven't come right out and said. They said they're going to take it on a game by game basis for games that have not had a system announced. And I think to go back to your question, Graham, I mean they're putting Halo out on PC.
Yeah, I think everything is probably going to still be on PC.
Yep. PC, it, to me, is like a foregone conclusion. The more interesting question is, and I think that the answer should be obvious and clear, but is, you know, when it comes time for the next Elder Scrolls game or some game that sold massively on another platform, the next Doom, etc., like, will that still come out on PlayStation? And I think the answer should be no, like, right?
You would hope so, yeah. Otherwise, why buy them? Like, I don't...
Oh, but for example, a Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
A Minecraft they bought and I'm doing very well with, but almost running it as its own separate thing that was not a Microsoft game studio. It's like that's Mojang, and they're keeping that because that's like bigger, I guess, in a way than the system. But this I think is different, and it probably should be different. Like they want to be competitive. This is a way of basically having, you know, this is like going to be a forcing function for a lot of people to get on Game Pass, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But for things like like Elder Scrolls, which is on like every platform that exists,
used to be, yeah.
Something
used to be, something? Yeah. Who knows from now on? Yeah.
For something like that, wouldn't you know a delayed release, even by like a couple of years, like a significant amount of time, a delayed release would still be more money in their pocket, right?
But yes and no, right? Like you're fighting a perception thing, right? It's like, well, would Nintendo make as much money or more money if they, a year after every Mario Kart came out, they put that on every system?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but Mario Kart is also untainted. He's never seen other shores.
He's pure.
It's mobile
account? Pure blood. There are definitely those fan bases, but I mean, to me, like you do this move because you want to. I mean, I think Microsoft is open to a fault, honestly. Like, I think they don't force people to buy their hardware enough.
They should
almost, you know, and like I think everyone benefits from them being competitive, and so I think this is a way of them getting really great competitive. I do totally understand people who are like, well, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool PlayStation owner, but I really love Skyrim, being like, well, fuck.
Bummer.
Now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too bad.
But like, yep, that's the business, as they say.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing how hard they go in on leveraging that. It'll be interesting to watch.
Me too, yeah. Yeah, I think we won't know for like a couple of years because the games they've already announced. But like the sci-fi game.
Star, whatever.
Star or something, yeah.
Starfield, right?
That rings a bell. And Elder Scrolls 6, sure. Which I think we've seen like maybe a logo of.
But, and things like... QuakeCon and there are some, you know, questions left to be answered about what happens when something like this goes on. But
and like the you know, lifelong PlayStation owner who really just fucking wants to play the new Elder Scrolls game, my instinct would be to say that person is then just gonna put a bit more money into the computer they probably already own.
Sure.
Like I'm gonna be really interested to see if any of that actually translates into Xbox moving. Because people who are going to buy an Xbox are going to buy one no matter what. But convincing people who weren't going to get one is a different story.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's $7.5 billion. I think this is a long play, right? So, like, even five years from now, but also even think into next console generation, right? When you're making the decision then. Like, this one, a lot of people's minds are already... made up at least for the first year, but like 3 years from now when all the consoles really spike and hit their like high numbers and production is all the way up and whatever, like this could be a real effect, right? So anyway, yeah, it's super fascinating to watch. So we'll see. Let's see, speaking of QuakeCon, BlizzCon Online,
are they actually calling it that?
Apparently so, yeah. Online wow. Only BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah.
BlizzCon and then Line. BlizzCon Line.
Line is sponsoring BlizzCon?
No.
Oh.
No, Gabe.
Okay.
Only someone who lives in Japan would ever even think that.
How dare I?
February 19th or 20th next year. They're just calling it now.
It's a wise
price
thing
for virtual tickets, huh? It's going to be like a cosplay thing, blah, blah, blah. We'll see what happens with that. Yeah, these stories about the Xbox Series X pre-order and the PS5 pre-order debacles, I'll just skip those and just say they were both just total clusterfucks. I think the interesting adjunct conversation on the Series X is that, you know, Xbox One... X sales skyrocketed from people fucking up on Amazon, like presumably, and ordering the wrong thing, which is
I 100% see that happening.
Not surprising. Exactly. No, exactly.
So I actually went to Microsoft's site to see if what I could buy from their website, like, because they have the list of retailers, and when I would click on like go to this website to buy your Xbox Series X, it actually took me to the Xbox One X purchase. So like,
oh shit.
I had to then go to the like navigator on the side and go, no, I want the series consoles, please. Cause you're just showing me the ones.
So many well-meaning grandmas are going to get fucked by that.
Speaking of well-meaning grandmas getting fucked. Okay.
Not me.
I don't want to make that segue. It has nothing to do with, or maybe it does. I haven't played Nier Replicant, but anyway, coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC in April.
I mean, actually, you're not too far off. Now that I think about it.
Really make me want to play that now. Back to Xbox, because we're doing random news. Wait, Gabe, give us the random news theme.
It's random news. It's random, we don't know where we're going. Left, right, up, down, twirling circles.
It's like The Simpsons when he did the presidential. It totally is. Twirling towards freedom.
Towards freedom.
I thought you were going to choose random genres and sing it in different genres. Maybe next time. So back to Xbox Series X, the expansion card. Is that what they're calling it officially? I guess. Yes. Basically the hard drive that's fast enough to use as the actual hard drive and not just storage. Is going to sell for $220, which people were surprised about, I guess, just because the Series S is so cheap. But I mean, actually, for that kind of technology, it's really not.
I actually don't know what you're describing. Is this like an external HDD?
Yeah, so it's a card. Think of like
a Neo stick
memory card.
Okay.
If it was like a little bit bigger, and if that was actually like expanded the hard drive in the system.
So it's basically storage. It's a USB stick.
I mean, kind of, yes, but it's a hard drive. It's fast enough to run right off of it.
Okay.
So it is actually expanding your hard drive, but you could theoretically buy four of them and be like, oh, okay, which one is that game on? Okay, I'm going to put it in. Like,
and this goes into like USB slots that I presume this device.
It's not a USB. Forget USB.
What is
USB.
It then? How do I put it into my box?
It looks like, I mean, it's just a big fat slot.
Where do I put it?
Big this? Slot on your box, Graham. You shove it into the big slots? Slot on your box.
I have four big slots in my box.
You shove it in and out, and you can take them from different people. Can just shove them in the and slots? Out of there.
I haven't seen the box. Where are the slots on it?
It's under the skirt, Graham. Get it together.
It's on the back. Jesus, it's on the back. It's in the back. It's in the back. Where you like it. Oof. In the back.
This is the worst sex ed class ever. It's just like, find the holes. Find the holes and put things in them, Graham.
Violently jam until you find the right one.
There's a port on the back where you would put, you know, your Ethernet cables.
There are four of these? You could have four of these in your Xbox.
You could have one at a time, Graham, please. My goodness. Family podcast.
I don't know. Okay. All right, sure.
One at a time, you could theoretically have four of them and swap them like you would. I'm not going to finish that sentence, but you can swap them.
Okay, I think I'm caught up. Yeah, sure.
You caught up? So it's $220.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's the news part, okay?
All
right. So you can use that with your Series X or your S, right? I think.
Yep.
Yes. Just say yes.
Wait, actually, I have a question. Maybe.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
There's four of those slots, but you can use only one of those thingies at once, right?
I think there's just one slot.
Oh, okay.
See, Mark didn't do a great job of explaining that.
What? No! God damn it. Listen to the tape, people. Exonerate me. I explained it perfectly well.
This is why the only safe choice is abstinence. The adults don't explain it very well.
One slot. Every Xbox is born with one slot, and
one device.
Now, I am going to confuse things a little bit here, because you could theoretically hook up a USB 3.1 hard drive, right? But you can't run things off of that. That's just going to be storage. So, like, the Xbox has its super fast hard drive, just like the PlayStation 5 does. And so you're going to run out of that storage pretty quickly, actually, given the size of games. Although they did clarify that the Series S games are going to be like up to a third smaller than the Series X versions of them, just because they're not going to, give you the high-res textures and all of that, which I thought was interesting. But otherwise, you can actually run out of that space fairly quickly based on some of the sizes of things like Call of Duty and stuff that we already know the size of. You could hook up like a more standard hard drive to it, move games off onto there. You just can't like run them off of it, play them off of it. Whereas this expansion card, which uses the slot and the new technology and whatever, you can actually, it just acts like a second hard drive.
So how much storage does it have, this thing?
So the S or the X? The X.
Fuck, I'm talking about the card. Are the different cards too?
No. The card is 1 terabyte.
Okay, and like how many, I know file sizes are getting pretty crazy nowadays. How many like games is that, do you think?
I mean, it could be, you know, that would
depends
be
on the game, obviously.
100 gig games. So
100 gig games, fuck.
They're getting bigger than that, actually. I think something was, it might have been Call of Duty was like 200.
Yeah, because it had Warzone.
Yeah, and the deeper rub is if you have an S, you're probably a price conscious consumer because you bought the cheaper one, which was only $300, but that's only got a, what, like a 800 gig, I want to say, hard drive in it. And so you could run out of it pretty quickly.
That hole will fill up fast.
Yeah. One thing you can do with that hard drive though, is this is kind of wild. Presumably people are getting test units out there in the wild. And this is something that they've noticed that they were able to do. You can download games before you've bought them.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that already a thing?
Well, if you pre-order a game right now, right? If you order a game or pre-order a game, they let you pre-download a lot of games.
You're saying I can download it before I hand over my money.
Exactly. Apparently so. And the reason why that is potentially a good thing, which I didn't even realize or I guess think about until I read the story. By the way, thank you to Polygon. And who else did we get our news from?
We got Kotaku, GameSpot, some Ars Technica, and Gadget.
Cool. Thank you to all of them. Basically, any modern game now, even games you buy on a disc, right? Download the whole game off of the disc onto your hard drive and then just run it off the hard drive, especially with these new games with the faster hard drives are all going to do that. And so this will make just every game, even games that don't have pre-orders or whatever. Well, maybe not every game, because the game would still need to be on the server early somewhere, and some games might just not do that. But presumably this is going to mean a lot more games you can actually just download early, so that launch night download problems will probably still be there, but maybe hopefully not be as bad.
It seems smart, because if they're as big as you say, you'll probably need a couple of days to download them.
Right. Some of these
You're doing that system, that still isn't necessarily before actually paying for the thing, right?
Well, that's the weird thing, and the thing that I was surprised about and wondering, like, are they really going to do that? Like, that's could potentially be a shitload of bandwidth that they're giving up and not making money on. But maybe they have studies where people just, I mean, why would you? But people don't download that shit unless they're
planning to buy the game anyway. Yeah.
They're going
to
buy it and they do end up going through with it. But yeah, it seems like the difference here is that you don't even have to really, you don't have to have pre-ordered it. You don't have to have done anything. You can just kind of preload it no matter what, which
that's crazy. I feel like I'm missing a puzzle piece in there somewhere.
Yeah, like why does this matter at all? Is
because of what I was just talking about though. Like you have to get all of the games onto your hard drive. So like you're saying, what, people just pre-order them anyway? And
no, I think it's just it's a me thing. It's a consumer thing where I'm usually just like,
yeah,
the game came out like a month and a half ago, and then I download it, and then I walk away for a while, and that's it. Like I'm not experiencing these same problems that like require this kind of solution. But okay, I think I'm following.
Yeah, like I don't understand why you would give, even if they can't access it yet, obviously, why you would give a product to someone who hasn't paid for it or done anything. Like, you know, pre-ordering and then allowing people to download it ahead of time and just not be able to access it yet totally makes sense. Right. Any kind of downloading before the exchanging of currency happens doesn't make any sense. And
well, I wonder how long the installation would take on, like, let's say you buy a game on disc.
It's like a 200. Is it taking 2 weeks? Like, do I have to wait for my next paycheck to be able to buy your game?
No, but I mean, like, if I'm going to buy the physical game and take it home and I want to play it, like, right away, and it's going to take 2 hours to install or something, I'm going to buy the physical game, right? And not
Galaxy
the
brain moment. I didn't.
Yeah, no, I just had the same one. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about people buying stuff online. I'm like, why the fuck would you let them download it without paying? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The article goes into the fact that every physical game now has to install to the hard drive as well. And so maybe, but even that, it's like, how long doesn't that take like 2 seconds? Like,
I mean,
maybe it does take longer than.
I'm not the most experienced with this, but like Final Fantasy Remake was like 2 hours, I think, which like I was kind of bummed, but you know.
But then you were downloading it, right? That was not off of disc.
No, it was installing from disc.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, in that case, fuck yeah.
So when you buy it, it has two discs. It's the first PlayStation 4 game I ever had that came with two discs, one just to install it and then one just to play it.
It was
that big.
Wow.
But you know, like 2 hours isn't a huge deal, but I'm not a person who like desperately needs to be the first one to play something. And for some people that's really important. Like they're like, I lined up, I got this shit
exactly.
Before anyone else.
Launch night.
Don't have to wait like a putz. What is this bullshit? Yeah. Like I get that.
A lot of people that is, 2 hours would be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is a big deal? Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dynasty Warriors.
Announced for 2021.
Finally here.
Boom.
Yeah, I don't know. I read a very brief sort of summary of what they had announced, and it confused the fuck out of me, because basically, like, the thing about Dynasty Warriors 9 was that it was open world. It was the first open world Dynasty Warriors game. And then for Empires, they're like, yeah, it's not open world anymore. It's like, so what is your game? Like, is it just, do we go back to being Dynasty Warriors 8? I'm not totally sure what the whole plan
it's
is.
Empires.
There, cool. I always preferred the Empires ones anyway, because it added like an extra element of stuff to think about. But
it's Empires like the offshoot, or that's just the subtitle of 9?
So what it is, basically, like, once you have a regular Dynasty Warriors title, they would put off an Empires offshoot that has a little bit of Romance of the Three Kingdoms elements worked into it. So you would have, for example, instead of playing through set campaigns with set officers on set teams, you would make your own empire, throw them into the world, or you could pick a preset one. And then you would sort of, like, pick node by node, and then conquer China one by one as you go.
Hmm.
So instead of doing a set thing, you sort of, like, pick the adventure that you want to have, and then you go through that, is usually how Empires works.
So it's sort of like an overworld map, almost sort of like a Total War, where you're like conquering territory.
Yeah, it's literally just, it's a map of China.
Okay.
And each major city is a node, and then you would like start in a certain location, then work your way out, and then once you pick a node to invade, you would pick the officers you want to take, your amount of troops, and then you would do a regular Dynasty Warriors-style battle.
Mm.
And so that's usually what the thing is, but the whole thing with this new Dynasty Warriors game is that it was open world, and then in the interviews about this, they were like, yeah, we took that away. So I was like, neat.
Okay.
I don't know what you're going for, but
I mean,
cool.
It could just be as simple as they tried it. It didn't really work.
Didn't
that
work.
Well.
Or so maybe, yeah. Work. Yeah. No. I mean, the feedback.
And there's
something
to be said for not committing to something if you know it's not working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always thought the Dynasty were like the Empire's versions were cooler anyway, because they had that extra element to it. But
here we go. How about
here
now?
We are. Nice.
Hey, Mark's back.
So, okay. Moving on. Yakuza news. There's a bunch of Yakuza news. Let's see. One is they moved up 7 2 days to coincide with the Series X launch. Two is release date for Yakuza Like a Dragon. I'm sorry, the PS5 date for Yakuza Like a Dragon, March 2nd, 2021.
Yeah.
That's the one, not 7. The Xbox version is launching November 10th now. For Series X, S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC all launch on the 10th. Just the 5 is later. Yeah.
Well, it is Yakuza 7. It's kind of confusing, but yeah, that is. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
That is Yakuza 7.
You're right. That's Japanese Yakuza 7.
Do you want to just redo that whole thing and start over from the start?
No, it's great how it is. You don't love me at my worst. You don't get me at my whatever.
Man, I got to say, if that's your worst, you don't get too bad.
Hey,
rare compliment. There you go. You can have that one.
Let's see. And then there's a movie news. See, now this is the problem with doing it in the random order. Is the Yakuza movie news? Where was it? What did they announce?
That they're workshopping or something. A deal with.
Here it is. Developing a live action movie reported by Variety. Alongside 1212 Entertainment, Wild Sheep Content, they're not yet have a script. So,
it's
gonna be a while.
I googled that
place
real quick,
to start.
And I pulled up an article with a headline that I really liked. This is provided by thedigitalflix.com. Sorry, okay. My bad. The Digital Fix. It says Yakuza lead suggests a Hollywood Yakuza movie will only proceed if it's really good. So I'm down.
I like it.
I'm in there.
I feel much better now.
I trust that Nagoshi will actually just be like, "Ah, fuck that. It's no good. Get out of here."
But the Yakuza games actually use legit Japanese actors, right? Like,
of course,
yeah. And they're always written by like Japanese crime novelists. So I mean, they're usually like a pretty solid team behind them.
So there's like a non-zero chance that like they can keep it in Kamurocho and actually have characters from the game be in this movie.
Except this seems to be a Hollywood thing.
Yeah, I don't see any of the people involved. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Man. Maybe
so
they
be
will go.
Bowls.
Oh.
Yes, Mia Jovovich is in talks.
All right.
Keanu Reeves as Kiryu.
Hey now. Hey now.
Scarlet for the lead.
Maybe they will go like try to go like, you know, super legit and go that way. But yeah, there's a million different ways this thing just goes horrible fucking south. Speaking of which, they showed some of that Resident Evil Netflix. Actually, this is
a different one, right?
Yeah, this is not the live action one. This was a CG series. They showed a little taste of it during Tokyo Game Show. So that actually could be maybe not terrible. It didn't say anything about Wesker's babies or...
It doesn't feature the Wesker kids.
New Raccoon City or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness original CG anime series with a horror action vibe. Netflix 2021. And yeah, that's that. Pokemon stuff. I don't think Dermot's not here anymore. We don't need to talk about
never again.
I thought Roy was going to be here.
We need to get him to record like a 5-minute bit every time. Just like, hey guys, it's Derm time.
Paste it together. Gabe can just paste that together from
previous. Just reach out to him, get some lasers.
No, yeah, just no. Create it synthetically from previous Dermot clips.
Yeah, exactly. We have a Dermot voice bot. We can just create him saying anything. We just need to feed it.
I love
all the different phonetic sounds, and then we can.
Dermot
be Dermot, just talk about soccer and Pokemon and I don't know, was there anything else? Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
He'd have a lot of Spider-Man stuff to talk about. Did you guys see Spider-Man's new
mug?
New face?
Yeah. Them out.
So why? First of all, that's really that's my only question. So like, I'm not...
He explained that creative director, friend of the show, Brian Intihar, tweeted that it was done to match, you know, Yuri Lowenthal is their voice actor for him, and they like him.
Okay.
But then, like, with increased fidelity going forward, like, aka PS5, that they needed somebody. So they have a voice actor and they have a facial actor for these games a lot of times, right? And they're two different people.
In the original, are you saying that Yuri was also the facial capture actor?
No. So they had a different facial capture actor who looks more like the face of the old Peter Parker. And now they have a new facial capture actor who's not Yuri Lowenthal. There's one slot. There's one slot, and you can put four different memory cards in it.
Yeah, no.
None of them are Yuri Lowenthal.
Then why'd you bring up Yuri Lowenthal?
Yuri Lowenthal is still the voice actor, but they needed somebody whose facial, like, bone structure more closely matched Yuri Lowenthal's face because of...
I don't have Yuri Lowenthal do it.
Maybe he's a bad actor.
He's not a good face actor.
Fucking Yuri Lowenthal sucks. I knew it all along. You heard it from whoever makes this game, Insomniac?
But it might be a thing where I don't know actually the answer to that, because some games do that. But I think one of the things might be like, maybe this guy has to be in the studio for, you know, hundreds of hours, and Yuri Lowenthal can't do that, or he's too expensive.
Well, really quick, like, just looking at the screens, I was like, this kid looks a lot more like.
Okay, yes. And so that's the story.
This is like, are they just trying to trick people into thinking it's Tom Holland? And like
the other thing people are speculating on is like, he really looks like more like Tom Holland. And I think that was everybody's initial reaction was like, they're trying to make him more like look more directly like the
Marvel movie guy, which is fine. I think that's fine.
Which would be fine. But apparently that's not it. If that's what they were doing. I mean, Sony owns Spider-Man movies too. So I think they would just be upfront about that.
But. Yeah. If that were the case, I would have, like, it would just make more sense to outright say, you know, we want
he
all of
the does look be- like him.
We'll just have Tom Holland do it.
He does.
Like, yeah, since they own him anyway, like
they own him.
They own him. Just get him
bring him out of a fucking, like, one of those carts, one of those, you know, cat carts for
fish. They got him in a big box. They roll him around wherever they need him.
Let's
see. Give him some Chips Ahoy, and away he goes.
He looks significantly younger, which like has people fucked up, I guess. Because Miles is supposed to be his like teenage protege,
was supposed
like,
to be an older
him, right?
Spider-Man, yeah.
And now Miles looks older than Spider-Man does, or than Peter does.
Hmm. I was just surprised that people a lot of people really fucking care about that. I mean, I guess it is weird. It's a game that's out and already exists, and now the PS5 version of it, he's going to look a little different.
I don't really care. Like, it's their choice to make, but I saw a side-by-side comparison of, like, the exact same scene on PS4 and PS5.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, this new PS5 one might as well just be a real person. Like, the fidelity is so much better than the PS4 one. It's crazy. If you look at them side-by-side, like, the PS4 one, you can tell this is a model of a dude in a video game. PS5 is like, that's just Tom Holland.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very bright.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Trail
Technology.
JRPG series shipped over 5 million copies as Falcom. All right. congratulations to them.
Wait, what are we talking about? What series?
I don't know. Falcom. Trails.
Oh, Trails. Congratulations.
Trails of the Sky.
Trails in Good for the Falcom. Sky. They've been in the game for a long time. Good for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can't end on that, though. Should we end on Nintendo getting sued for Joy-Con drift?
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, no, that's why I don't ever touch my Switch, is because the fucking left Joy-Con sucks ass and doesn't do anything.
It is really annoying to me continually, but I guess this is a French... Is this a class action nonprofit organization, I guess, suing them? It is a class action. It's happening in French court. It'd be nice if they just fucking fix that. Like,
yeah, that'd be good too. Yeah.
How about try fixing it? I guess that's it. Mass Effect Trilogy might be coming out. Let's end with this. Amazon announced.
Oh yeah.
Their own game streaming service, Luna. There's a lot of details on this. There's like a Luna Plus subscription service for, what was it, $6 a month? It's got stuff like Resident Evil 7. Control was all over this announcement. That was their big, trailer game. Similar to like a Stadia, you can play it anywhere. PC, Mac, Fire TV devices. Unlike Stadia and pretty much the Game Pass and anything else, or Project X Cloud, I guess I should say, you can play this on iPhone and iPad because you're playing it through the web browser, I believe. So this will run on iOS devices.
Okay, right now I'm making the kombucha girl gif where she's like, I'm thinking about, never mind. Like, how?
What made you do the no? Ooh, no!
I mean, how would that even work if you're playing on a?
How do you play Resident Evil 7 on a tablet?
Does it bring up like you have a virtual analog stick, D-pad?
No.
The shoulder things are up here.
Just like Stadia, you have a controller that.
Oh, you got to slide it into some contraption.
One hole, one contraption.
You don't actually have to plug in controllers these days, Graham. Like, not all controllers do you have to plug in. It connects via Wi-Fi. It connects right to the cloud server, just like the Stadia controller does. So there's like less latency, and yeah, you control it that way.
I feel like such an old bitch because I'm just like, that sounds like too many things that could go wrong. Why can't I just plug my controller into it?
No, it's pretty nice.
When it works actually. I've got an 8-bit Do controller, and I just once I sync it up, and then it automatically just works on my PC. I can play it on my TV.
Well, you can do that shit where you can just be playing on like a MacBook Air. You can be playing, you know, like Resident Evil 7 or Lumines Remastered or Res Infinite or any other number of incredible games that are available right now on Luna. Let's see. For the time being, it's available in mainland U.S. only, not even in Hawaii. Sorry, Hawaii, Alaska, or the U.S. territories. But I'm sure that's going to expand. They announced a partnership with Ubisoft. Stuff like Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, and Far Cry coming. Give at least 30 days notice before the early access period ends. You can check out so-and-so games on Luna Plus right now. There's a Luna Plus Twitch package. What is this here? Luna interface shows Twitch streams for games that are supported in the service, and players can launch into games right from Twitch. Similar to functionality that Google promised coming to Stadia and YouTube. So that's kind of cool. You can be like, oh, this game that I'm watching a streamer play looks interesting. Boom, here's a link in the chat. Just click on it and you're playing that same game. Maybe eventually playing the game with the person streaming. That's one of the things Google talked about anyway. The controller, too, some people pointed out, looks a hell of a lot like a Pro Controller.
Yep.
Switch Pro Controller, which is not a bad thing. People really like that controller. And I mean, honestly, there's only so many different ways the controllers can look these days. but it doesn't look bad. I haven't seen anything from anybody that's been hands-on with one, and we haven't. I haven't actually messed with this either, despite the fact that, we do have two games on the service that were in the announce in the trailer. it's only $50, the controller, which is a little bit cheaper than controllers are going for these days too, which is kind of nice. So
yeah.
Anyway, check that Dorito It for more details. You can sign up now, I guess, for early access. And that's it. Anything we missed? Anything you guys still want to talk about? No? Any TGS? Did anybody watch any TGS streams?
I watched the Nier one and that was it.
Yeah. Any good?
I mean, I'm eternally hyped and they're like, check out this super bitchin' limited edition one that's $200 and has a bunch of shit you don't want. And I'm like, that's a bunch of shit I don't want. Plus a really fancy exclusive soundtrack, which a bunch of tracks that will only ever exist on this soundtrack. Ooh. And it got my money.
Oh, gotcha.
They got me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I watched some of the Capcom streams. I think in general, what people did was they just took the things that would have been stage shows at TGS and just put a camera in front of people, which is, you know, better than nothing, but it was not really the best kind of content for streaming.
It wasn't really like the PlayStation or Microsoft sizzle reel stuff that they were doing. It was kind of like, oh, I'm watching a presentation on Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Right. Yeah, like, oh, I'm being expected to watch like an hour of idle talk for like literally 2 minutes of actual news kind of thing that you forgive for whatever reason if you're actually there live.
Yeah, if it were a physical event, you'd be like, sure, I'm just happy to be here. But now it's like, dude, I'm in my house, I'm in my sweatpants. Like,
right. One thing that I thought Square Enix did that was really cute is that they're publishing Densha de Go on the PlayStation 4. So the Go by Train game. And so one fun thing that they did is that every now and then between bigger segments, they would have really small segments where they'd bring on a producer or like some person who works on a different game, and they would have them drive the train from one Yamanote station to the next.
Aww.
And just see how well they do it. And they would like have all these people like competing to see how close they could get to like a perfect 0.00 meter stop.
Wow.
And so they would do that between bigger segments. And that was fun. That was fun to watch.
That's the kind of stuff, where you like take advantage of the format and do you could only do on the format, but
Square in general, I think, adapted really well to it, and they brought out a whole bunch of different personalities on different teams. I think they had a strong game. I just watched the Saga series one. They had like an hour long Saga series block, and that was fun. They mostly just talked about their mobile game, which I play, and the browser game, and also their upcoming re-release of the 3 Final Fantasy Legend games that's coming out in December.
Ooh.
So they talked about that. Like, they added a cool Tate vertical mode where you can just play using the whole Switch screen as a controller, like it's a Game Boy. They added a big virtual D-pad and stuff on the screen, and they were all just there. It's fun to see the people doing the thing.
We didn't talk about Crystal Chronicles Remake. Let's talk about that next a podcast. You just reminded me.
Sure, I mean, the game will still exist 2 weeks from now. I can wait.
You're gonna still be playing it?
Maybe every now and then. Yeah.
One other thing you reminded me of, totally randomly, there was a new R-Type Final 2.
Yep.
Trailer.
I'm a backer, so I get all the updates.
I am so fucking psyched for that. It looked really fucking good too.
R-Type Final was one of like the best horizontal shooters, period. So I mean, I have faith that these people can do this.
I actually didn't. I thought Final was a letdown after Delta.
I think you're probably in the minority on that, but
no.
Like, around that time, it was like you had Gradius 5, you had R-Type Final. Shit was just good if you were playing those games.
Gradius 5, not the best.
What the fuck? Who are you? Like, no. Oh my god, dude. The level where you're playing with past Vic Viper on that was so fucking dope. No, get out of here, dude.
There is a lot of cool stuff, but
there's so many good ideas in both of those games.
Final was really cool, but it was not Delta. It was not Delta level. Let's just put it that way. And so now Hope Springs Eternal, I think they can get it back, and it looks fucking amazing. Just seeing that style of game, like given the full Unreal Engine treatment, like there's just little snippets of gameplay, but I'm definitely hyped. What level did you back it at, Graham?
I could look that up if you could buy me like 30 seconds.
Sure, I'll just talk about the different shit that they
real,
showed.
Like, that's an e-penis move, though. Like, what level did you back?
Did you back it at all, Mark?
I didn't. It's not that at all. I'm just, like, literally curious of what...
I didn't know that I backed it this much.
Oh, he was feeling generous that day.
9,600 yen.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, what do you get for that? That's what I'm curious about.
Digital copy plus special goods. I think I usually, whenever I back things, it's usually I'm just going in for whatever gets me the game. But I guess this must have had an extra thing that
you thought it was neat.
I must have thought it was neat.
Getting whatever a plastic they were offering for that. R9 or something.
No, whatever. Whenever Kickstarter tries to give me like physical crap, I'm like, fuck that. Get that out of my face.
But good means physical crap.
No.
See, I think it might just mean like a soundtrack or something. But
his website
is so awful that I can't look this up easily.
You get like a gold bit pod to swing around your
R9. Wait, hold on. I think I... Digital copy plus digital goods. Yeah, digital soundtrack, digital art book, my name in the credits.
Oh, that's it.
It's all about that credit.
It's all about the credit.
Speaking of credits, let's roll them on this fucking podcast. Who wants to tell the people where they can find us? Actually, can anybody who's here do it now? Should I do it?
I got it.
Do it? Do it. Gabe, do it.
All right. You can find us on our homepage at 8-4.jp or on giantbomb.com. We've got a thread on etc. Be sure to check it out there. Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts if you can. We appreciate that. And finally, you can find us on Twitter at 84play. Mark, where can they find you?
I'm Mark McD. Tina.
I'm Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z. Graham.
I'm at Timely Howard.
Ooh, came and up with Gabe. It immediately that time.
I got not drunk enough yet this week.
Well, I had to actually remember real quick.
Check my notes. Gabe, did you get your Twitter account yet?
He's always had it. He's just not telling you about it.
How am I supposed to get onto this exclusive server?
Public Twitter account. I mean,
public Twitter account. When did I agree to this? I don't recall that.
Episode 1, man. Roll the tapes.
Yeah, we're going on 10 years ago.
We are inevitably going to make one for you and run it as you, and then
can I do it and just use it as my shit post place?
Well, yeah.
Do nothing. Never post. Just like Pornhub tweets.
Oh, okay.
Just the likes and retweets a whole bunch of raunchy shit. That'll be good. Geez.
I mean, we'll give everybody, I'll sell it that.
We'll give everybody the password so that anytime anybody wants to say something.
The community can decide who Gabriel is. They can.
And then it's a fun game. Ooh, which one of them do you think posted this one?
I wonder if Twitter, if there's a limit for the number of people that can log in from different IPs.
It'll flag some stuff. They'll have a problem.
It'll
send
an email. We can ignore it. It's fine.
At least all the people who take part in this podcast can have fun with it, I would hope. So a speedy recovery from Roy, who I guess is like predicted that he was going to be too tired like 3 days ago to do this podcast.
Damn.
And also John, who like legitimately is probably like almost dead.
He's like working at this moment probably.
And has a broken back is just a poor old man in general. So shout outs to him. That's what happens, Gabe. That's what happens when you're not on the podcast. You get shit talked about you.
happens when I'm on it too.
On that note, thanks again for listening. Please tell a friend if you liked us.
Make sure you register to vote if you haven't registered to vote.
Yes, unless you want to vote for Trump, in which case don't bother registering. but yes, if you otherwise, please definitely register and vote. If you live in America, I guess we should add that. And I guess that's it. So till 2 weeks from now, Gabe, take us out.
Are you motherfuckers ready for a fucking podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know I am now.
Verbal and audio lasers.
Oh my god!
Are you ready for metaphorical dabbing and flossing?
That was literal dabbing. What the fuck?
I think Gabe's gonna beat the shit out of all of us. We don't have an awesome podcast. So I guess with that,
talk to you like that.
Let's go. Let's go. Okay,
language.
Oh, I frequently think every now and then of the glorious fruit of the noble hen. Eggs! Eggs! E-double-G-S eggs. My knowledge of eggs is tremendously wide. I've eaten them boiled, I've eaten them fried, poached and shirred and deviled and scrambled, omelet, schmommel, it's cobbled and frambled. I've eaten them beaten and swizzled and swizzled, frizzled